All right, in 3, 2, 1. Yo, everyone, you're listening to Filmmaker Mike and the boys. Joining me for this episode is Jester
Hey, I miss Kuya already.
and Pinhead.
So do I, and I'd just like to go on record to say, fuck the Red Sox right now.
Yeah, Kuya is missed in this show. I was hoping he could make it, but it's the wifey's birthday.
Yeah,
So what do you
priorities.
say? Happy wife, happy life.
Happy
So,
wife's birthday, Kuya. Happy birthday to her.
yeah,
Yeah, happy birthday to her.
happy birthday to Annika.
Yep.
Yeah,
Yes,
so hopefully
yes.
they're enjoying. And he was on the chat like, but I'm gonna miss the podcast. Bro, it's one show. I'm
Yeah,
sure
dude,
you'll
you're
be able to
good.
be back here next week. That's
Yeah.
okay. But
We'll
yeah.
still love you.
Yeah. So in the meantime, it's been a few weeks at least since we last got to record a show. A lot has happened in the world of animation. We got the Bad Batch, and then we also had several episodes of a little show called X-Men 97, which I've actually been blown away by. Especially this last episode. I actually watched it when they dropped it at midnight, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was like, holy shit, like what an episode. And the fact that they actually killed some characters. I was like, whoa,
Wait,
okay.
what?
Yeah.
No way.
Are you watching it right now?
No, so let's okay. So just for reference for everybody else, I've watched the original growing up a ton.
Yeah.
But I can't say I've watched it from beginning to end because I don't know. It was always like Sunday morning cartoons for me.
Right.
But I watched the crap out of it. And then when the new one got announced, I was interested. I still am interested, but I just haven't gotten around to jumping on it.
So I used to watch the original. They used to air it in the Philippines on Channel 2 on Friday nights at 7 p.m. And back then, in the night when this show premiered in the 90s, there was no TiVo, there's no DVR, no like pause. You can't pause live. You have to sit down in front of the TV and watch that shit and watch all the ads. I watched it religiously every Friday. And I love even of course, the intro, the theme song. I have to say it's what got me into reading X-Men comic books because of that animated series. Yeah. So I remember picking up X-Men Annual #1 with the Jim Lee cover on it. And then there's several pages in the back with pinup art. And there's one which I'm pretty sure this, yeah, Jim Lee drew the entire issue. Back when he was like really he was still working with Marvel. And so every page was just Jim Lee art. And there was a specific page of Rogue with her pretty much her clothing torn off, like very revealing, but not showing anything. And it was like the Savage Land, Savage Island or Savage Land Rogue. And I remember seeing that and I was like, and then there was even a blueprint for the X Mansion. You could see each floor of the X Mansion, from the main school to the danger room, the gym, everything, and then even the blueprint of the SR-71 Blackbird jet, or I guess it wasn't the SR-70, it was a Blackbird jet by then in the 90s, but in the 70s it was the SR-71, and I know of the Blackbird jet, and I know of the SR-71 Blackbird jet because of X-Men. So I remember like geeking out and looking at the blueprints and seeing like the blueprints of the X Mansion. But yeah, the animated series was great, and that's why when they announced that this was coming back, it got me really excited. And ever since it dropped, we've had they dropped two episodes. Yeah, they dropped two episodes of the premiere, and then of course we've got one episode every week. This fifth episode blew me away from start to finish. It's a fantastic episode. And the fact that, yeah, some characters bit the dust, and I was like, holy shit, like they're going for it.
So,
And
do we know how many episodes are going to be?
I think it's gonna be 8, if I'm not mistaken. So it seems like it's almost close to wrapping up. But it's great that they, as much as I would have wanted them to drop like, all the episodes, it's nice to have something to look forward to every week, just like back in the good old days. But at the same time, like, yeah, it was when we get a new Bad Batch episode and a new episode of X-Men 97 every Wednesday. So, and I'm just like, wow, this is great. I got new Star Wars and I got new X-Men. But I've been really, and like I said, those first two episodes, a few episodes ago of the podcast, Cyclops, like, holy shit. Cyclops, they actually reinstated the greatness of this character and the potential. And I'm just like, wow, this is a Cyclops I was missing on the big screen. And don't get me wrong, I love, what's his name? From Sonic and Westworld. Goodness gracious.
James Marsden.
James Marsden, thank you. I love the guy as an actor. I think he's a great actor. I'll always watch, you know, whatever he's in. But, man, what they did to his character in the three X-Men movies,
mm-hmm.
you know, they diminished and it became all about Logan and Jean, you know, which I get it. Wolverine is the popular character. But I'm hoping now, you know, with the new X-Men that's going to be introduced in the MCU, whenever they introduce him, that they take some notes. Another thing that I noticed in this episode, immediately, it's a very quick 3-second thing. You'll notice it in the background. The Watcher is in the background. And it seems like they're connecting this with the overall MCU. They're really connecting everything, not just the animation,
interesting,
with the live action. So,
okay.
Yeah. And that's why I'm hoping, if this somehow connects or, you know, whatever they do, I hope they take some notes on how to properly do the X-Men, because not just me, but everyone that I've seen on Twitter, on X, on social media, everyone's just been enjoying the show. The writing has been great, and the characters, and the fact that they got most of the original cast back to, you know, to do the voices again. I mean, Rogue, the voice actress for Rogue, like, you know, so many boys, including myself, fell in love with Rogue because of that voice of that character in the 90s. And now you have, you know, so it'll be interesting to see how they approach the live action X-Men in the MCU. I do hope that, yes, they're looking at what they did in the past, and it was good. It was good at the time, but, you know, like, we can definitely improve on, you know, we can definitely do a lot of improvements, especially now that you're entering the MCU era. So I'm hoping for the best. Pinhead, I'm not sure if you're up to date on X-Men 97.
I watched a few episodes. It's not for me.
Okay.
I respect the X-Men for what it is, the animated series, but I've always, like I said before, I've always been like a Gargoyles fan, so I've never been overly. I watched it like when it was on as a kid. I watched it, but I never. I will say it did get me into the comics, like it did for you. I was like, it made me intrigued to actually read the X-Men comics. And I don't know if anybody remembers back in the day they had those Marvel swimsuit specials.
Especially
the one with Storm on the cover. I was like, okay, now I love fucking X-Men. I don't hate it, but it's just like, it's not for me. I'm happy that people are enjoying it, and I can see why they're enjoying it, because it is a high quality show. It's just that, like I said, I'm a Gargoyles guy, so it's just not for me.
So speaking of Gargoyles, I don't remember if we mentioned this. They did announce, this was last year, October 16th, 2023. Gary Dauberman, James Wan's Atomic Monster, is tackling live action Gargoyles for Disney Plus.
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
Which I'm like, hey, I haven't really seen Gargoyles, but I know there's a fan base for it. But I'm like, Disney Plus, why don't you make a movie?
I feel like it would need to be pretty dark, especially live action.
Yeah.
That kind of shit where they just fluff it off and go, we're putting it on Disney Plus. If you don't care about it, why should we?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Like, that attitude doesn't make me have any confidence in your project. Like,
yep.
And this whole thing, they were saying, what's his name? The CEO Bob Iger even said they're investing in on blockbusters again, and that's why we're getting Toy Story 5, we're getting Moana 2, we're getting all the sequels and all these blockbusters. Where? Not on Disney Plus, on the big screen, because they need to make money, and they want to make money. Well, not that they want to, but they need to, especially after the lackluster, you know, year. I mean, they've had some hits, but a lot more misses that they need to course correct, and they need to make that money back. So, which brings me to CinemaCon, which is interesting because in their lineup of characters for each, I think for Pixar, it was Joy, the character of Joy from Inside Out, because there's Inside Out 2. And then for Marvel, it's Deadpool, because of course, the only MCU movie releasing this year is in July. We're a few months away, and it's Deadpool 3, which is interesting because according to Kevin Feige, he even said, he even dropped the F-bomb at CinemaCon.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome. So this is from Screen Rant. 10 Deadpool and Wolverine reveals from CinemaCon. I don't know if I want to mention all 10 because it seems like some are spoilerish.
Yeah, please don't. I'd rather not. Yeah.
So I guess I'm just going to say, let's see. Yeah, you know what? A lot of these seem like, especially if you don't. Yeah. So the only thing I'm going to mention is, yeah, Kevin Feige did mention that it's fucking awesome. And there's a Deadpool popcorn bucket, of course.
Oh, yeah, but did you see it, though?
That's I don't know if that's already it, if that's the dude.
Oh, okay, because I saw. Yeah, so I saw that. I saw the Deadpool and the Wolverine bucket with the hole where the mouth is supposed to be with, like, a cap.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it. Can you send that to me? I want to
okay,
see.
Yeah, I'll see.
Yeah, I just saw the one where I just saw, like, it seemed like an AI mashup of Deadpool and the sandworm from Dune.
Okay, no. So this is so it got announced yesterday, the photos. Okay. I just don't know if it's going to be an AMC exclusive or not, or, like, what the deal is with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Ryan Reynolds did mention, like, hey, you know, I know you guys like the Dune-O-C popcorn bucket. I got something special for you.
Of course.
Yeah. And hey, and that's the thing. A lot of the movie theaters are now realizing, like, hey, we can actually make money out of these popcorn buckets because they're not only collectible when they're, like, the Dune, you know, wormussy bucket that even reached SNL. I mean, you know, that's free promotion for them. And everyone's like, oh, I need it. And I heard from Kevin Smith's podcast, I guess one of the guys, supposedly there's this guy who has an OnlyFans, and he asked his fans on OnlyFans, would you guys like to see me fuck the Dune bucket?
Oh, God.
And people apparently paid up the wazoo.
Yeah, I bet they did.
And then now you have the AMC people who are like, if we only knew that it was going to go that way with all of your memes about the, we wouldn't have made it. I'm like, no, shut the
bullshit,
fuck up.
Bullshit.
How can you say, for when you're charging, what, $50 a pop and you sold so much? Like, come on.
Bullshit.
Be real.
Okay, so I think I found the So I found the Wolverine one.
Okay.
This is a terrible link. This is to an Instagram. I'm trying to find the Deadpool one, because the Deadpool one has, like, a little winky face.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Okay, I see it. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's the Wolverine one.
Okay.
I can't find the.
So I'm seeing Deadpool. And then
so the Deadpool one looks exactly like that. Okay. Exactly like that, but it's more round, and then
gotcha.
Where his mouth is, he's like, his eyes, he's like winking with one eye.
Gotcha. Yeah. Let's yeah. See. Okay. I see the Wolverine and I see the Deadpool.
Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. The Wolverine's okay. The Deadpool is where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Deadpool's definitely where it's at.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So this is not the. It says here art is by Boss Logic.
Okay.
It's not the actual popcorn bucket. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for confirming.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't revealed it yet. But according to Kevin Feige, it says it's, quote, intentionally crude and lewd.
Okay. So probably looking at something like that.
And it's been confirmed that the movie is rated R, which is great.
Right.
It should be. Because if they pulled a PG-13 on this shit.
Oh, dude.
Oh, like talk about Sonic, like getting the face remodel in record time. You know, everyone is going to be like, and hard as it should be. So, which is good. I'm glad that they, you know, they kept it that way.
Yeah.
So, and I think I did see there's also a pop. It looks like there is a popcorn bucket of a taxi cab, which I think might also be with.
Oh, okay.
Because I think Dopinder, I think, is coming back. If I'm not,
I'm sure that's a sidekick right there.
Yeah. So, I think that's one of them as well. And then there's also, let's see if I can find.
Since we're talking about popcorn buckets, have you seen? I don't know. When was the last time you went to the movies, Mike? Have you seen the?
It's been a while.
The episode one, bucket they got at Cinemark right now. It looks awesome.
I know they have it at Cinemark. That artwork is by Matt Ferguson, who's been doing the posters for the re-releases for Return of the Jedi.
Nice. And
Empire Strikes Back. Yeah.
I want to get it. I want to get that popcorn bucket.
Yeah, it's available on at Cinemark. I think it's $15.
Yeah, standard.
Yeah, but then you can get a refill. And it's a tin bucket, and then I do want the cup as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm trying to look for the. I thought I found. Whenever I find it, but yeah. Right now for Ghostbusters, I don't know if it's an AMC exclusive. There is a Ghost Trap popcorn bucket, which looks really cool.
The Slimer, I think, is for Cinemark only, right?
Yeah, the Slimer one actually does look cool.
Yeah, it does.
And the fact that, yeah, you have, because sometimes the way they make stuff, like the characters, like they've done some collectible cups which look like characters, like a figure, but it almost looks like a Funko Pop, but it's worse because it's flat. And it's for the faces and the body, it's just like a sticker. And it's like, what? It's mostly, it seems like it's geared towards kids and not adults.
Absolutely.
What the hell is that shit? Like, you know? But yeah, CinemaCon, lots of announcements. One of which, of course, you got, I had no idea, The Watchers. I thought it was a new film from M. Night Shyamalan, but it's not. If I'm not mistaken, he's producing it. His daughter is directed the film. The trailer looks very intriguing, very interesting. It definitely looks like an M. Night Shyamalan film. After all, it is, because it's his daughter. And of course, Kuya is all about, like, yeah, now it's her fault. Like, blaming the daughter for the sins of the father.
I'm sure
when she was making this film, her dad's right there and telling her, like, hey,
this is how you make it really bad. You're
getting yourself into. But, you know, I sure hope that he let her also, like, I can also see it. Yeah, he's there to guide her, but at the same time, like, let her do her own thing. But, hey, that's cool. That's pretty cool.
I'm sure he told her it's got to have a twist at the end.
You got to have a twist. But, hey, if that movie gets me with a twist that I didn't see, hey, you know, I'm all for it. Another announcement, of course, from CinemaCon. Well, we did get the teaser for a Joker. All I do, or whatever, however you pronounce it, which looks amazing. Another piece of cinema. And of course, you got Pinhead's girl, Lady Gaga. Like, and she looks great. And that last shot where she's talking to him, it looks like in prison or whatever, wherever it is, because they have a glass window between them. And she puts the lipstick with a smile. And then he goes right in front of it, and the framing and everything. And then just the music, and I'm just like, holy shit, look at that. Like, and the fact that supposedly this film will have 15 cover songs. So it's essentially a musical, which is really, really interesting. Because according to Todd Phillips, he even said, quote, as we were writing this script, we just kept going back to her on casting Lady Gaga. And quote, it's a movie where music is an essential element. So, and the fact that supposedly there's 15 cover songs, well, there you go. Joker and Harley Quinn, which is cool. I'm just curious to see how, if we even, I guess we're not even going to see tie in a Batman here. We did get Bruce Wayne in the last Joker film, but a very young Bruce Wayne. Of course, when they announced Robert Pattinson as Batman, everyone was hoping that they would connect, but this is its own, on its own separate universe. So it's not tying into the DCU. But going to the DCU, we got the official Superman Shield reveal. And then it says here, so July 11th, 2025, and it, quote, it will be a bold new era of DC storytelling, because they are currently filming right now, so James Gunn. But Peter Safran came out to talk about Superman. And, of course, the upcoming Superman, the Christopher Reeve story, the documentary. This documentary premiered in Sundance, at the Sundance Film Festival, and supposedly it moved a lot of people to tears. The documentary will be released this September. It will include exclusive interviews and never-before-seen footage. I'm hoping that they release it on Max. But
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they will release it in theaters. Who knows? And then let's see what else we have here. Trying to see. They did announce, of course, they did a thing with Furiosa, with some of the cast there, because, of course, that one's coming up real soon. They also announced Transformers 1, which Chris Hemsworth, if I'm not mistaken, will be voicing Optimus Prime. So it's going to be animated. So
I just want to take a nice leap onto some concrete.
That concept sounds fucking stupid. Like I heard the concept of what it's supposed to be, and I'm like, this fucking sounds dumb. But they are saying it's more, the art style is more geared toward kids, so I don't know.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
If it's to kids, cool. If it's trying to reach us, that makes me want to dive headfirst on a concrete slab.
Right. That makes more sense than if because it is an animated film. And I was thinking, like, it would be cool if they're gearing it toward, because I know they have a Transformers on Netflix, which I heard was also good.
Yeah, that was, yeah, but that had Peter Cullen and all that stuff. And it was like a continuation of the show's storyline. And I know it was a lot more geared towards adults. So we got that.
Right. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm curious to see that animation art style.
So am I, because I'm confused by it. It's, from what I heard, it's supposed to be geared toward kids, but the story is about how they were best friends and they become bitter rivals.
Okay, so for Megatron and Optimus.
For Megatron and Optimus, there's a journey they take to discover, because they're not supposed to be out in the outside world of Cybertron, and Megatron rebels against it, and he's supposed to take a journey, and because Optimus is his best buddy, because at this point in the timeline, him and Megatron are still, like, best buds, it tells you the story of how it got past that rivalry and they became bitter enemies.
Okay.
That's what I've been told from the CinemaCon people, or the people talking about it that got to see the footage at CinemaCon.
Okay, interesting.
I'm just butthurt that we gotta have Hemsworth in every, like, he's turning into the Rock. It's like, you know what? Can you just stop, dude? Like, take a break, man. It's not like you already have enough money. Like, give somebody else a chance to do some acting or be a stupid character.
So, speaking about Transformers, this one was a no-brainer, because from the last Transformers Rise of the Beasts, they did tease it at the end credit scene. Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover movie is officially in development.
Oh, damn. Yep. Speaking of The Rock coming back to ruin that franchise, too.
Well, I don't know. It seems like, because The Rock is now transitioning to A24. He's got some projects lined up.
Don't ruin that, bro.
Yeah, he's got a movie with Emily Blunt, if I'm not mistaken, at A24. So I don't see him coming back to G.I. Joe, because, I mean, honestly, he doesn't seem like he needs it.
So, like, I'm so tired of that fool, bro. Just stop.
Yeah, so, which I thought this was, this is bound to happen. I think it's a cool idea. But it's all going to come down to the execution. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Transformers are going to be the vehicles, and then you've got the G.I. Joes and Cobra. That's cool. And, I mean, they've also done crossover comic books anyway in the past.
Yeah.
And they've done some exclusive Comic-Con sets. with Transformers and G.I. Joe, you know, action figures. So that's cool. But I hope that they come up with a really cool story to bring these, you know, because, I mean, Hasbro is, they have their own movie universe. I mean, supposedly, I think Margot Robbie is now working on the Monopoly movie.
Yep.
Because they saw what she did with Barbie.
Oh, like, hey, producing it.
We need Mr. Moneybags to get that Barbie touch.
We need ideas. What do you got? I can make a movie about Monopoly. Okay, all right, do that. Here's a ton of money.
Yep. And then let's see. Oh, that's right. We did get a. There is a sneak peek. They showed a bunch of footage of, apparently from Disney and Marvel. They showed. A bunch of, I think they did show a bunch of footage for a lot of the movies, but Marvel and Disney seems like they're the only ones that allowed people to take pictures, not video, but pictures of the big titles of all their upcoming projects, which is smart because that made, you know, it made its rounds to social media and people are getting excited. Now, we obviously don't get to see those scenes, but as far as the Captain America scene that that was described, When I was reading the description and how the scene goes, I'm like, okay, this actually sounds exciting. I'm all for it. I just wish it was coming out this year, but we're not getting it till next year because they did delay that film. But we did. There is a sneak peek from Entertainment Weekly of Harrison Ford confronting Anthony Mackie's Sam Wilson in Captain America: Brave New World. And that's why the joke is it's Air Force Two, because Harrison Ford is not just playing General Thunderbolt Ross, he's actually President Thunderbolt Ross of the U.S. And so he's speaking to Sam Wilson's Captain America. His suit looks much better than how his suit looked at the end of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. He looked a little puffy in that white, mostly white and blue suit. This suit is darker, and it already looks like a vast improvement to me. So, and then there's also another shot of him holding the shield as well. And there is a quote of him, because I don't know if you guys saw that clip of Tom Holland getting on Anthony Mackie and telling him, like, where's your movie? You know, years ago. And now Anthony Mackie said, I'm going to make sure Marvel pays for him, brings him out to the premiere, and I'm going to watch him watch the movie. Now he's got a movie, which, hey, it took a few years. But, hey, at least now he's got his own Captain America movie. But I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see that first sneak peek, that teaser. It also sounds like they did some reshoots, or their overhaul. It's, I don't know if it's an overhaul or they're fixing. As I think, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it was supposed to be released this year, but they did push it back to next year. And then what's the other one? The other Marvel movie with the Thunderbolts, right? Isn't it the Thunderbolts?
That's the show they're gonna do on Disney Plus, right?
No, that's a movie. Thunderbolts.
No, it's a movie.
Oh, they're going to make a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Yeah. I was hoping they were going to do like a 6-episode mini show or something.
No, this is a movie. They had Florence Pugh did a whole Instagram sneak peek on the set. She was in costume walking from her trailer to the set. And then Kevin Feige, on the logo or the title of the film, there is an asterisk. And Kevin Feige said that asterisk has a significance, but that won't be explained until the movie comes out. He's like, whoop-de-doo, okay. But I do remember, hey, it's a nod to comic books. When you read, like, when someone mentions something and they put an asterisk, you look down and it refers to, you know, an issue in the, you know, a past issue where something happened. So I'm like, okay, that's cool, but I can't wait to, like, whoop-de-doo, we'll have to wait till next year to find out what that asterisk means.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's pretty fucking lame.
But the, so for the cast of the Thunderbolts, let's see.
Probably just the OGs.
So Florence Pugh is returning as Yelena. Of course, Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes.
And Donald Trump.
Donald
Trump. Yeah, he's playing Donald Trump. You guys know that, right?
No.
What? Oh, dude. Yeah, he's so. Oh,
I didn't hear anything about
some,
that.
There's some for pictures. Of, I'm dead serious, bro. There's some pictures of him. Shit. There's some pictures of him released as Donald Trump. I'm sorry. I know we're getting sidetracked, but here.
No, no, that's good. That's all good.
Continue, and I'll look it up for you.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't hear this shit. Oh man.
Yeah.
And I don't really see him playing Donald Trump, but like, okay, I guess we're going for it.
Of course, Rolling Stone's like, Sebastian Stan looks ready to violate the Fair Housing Act as Donald Trump.
Oh, shit.
Who's playing Stormy Daniels?
It's called, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I know the movie's called The Apprentice. Here, I'm gonna send I'm gonna send you this article here. Bro.
Okay, yeah, I see it. Rolling Stone.
Okay. You got it.
Oh, do they already have a shot of him in makeup?
Oh yeah, no, here, there's another one of him.
Oh shit, okay, I see it. Yeah. Okay, he's got the hair. He's got the hair.
Did you see the cheeseburger part yet?
No.
Okay, here, go to images. And then there's some good shots about like a row down in images of him in his suit and eating a cheeseburger.
Oh shit. Okay.
Oh shit. Okay.
I think it's gonna be good, dude. He looks great.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Okay.
Have you seen Fresh, the movie Fresh on Hulu?
No, I haven't. That's
that's Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, he's like a cannibal or something, right?
Something like that.
Okay.
I don't want to give away, but that's the thing.
I was like, Fresh. I remember now.
Did you see that? Yeah. Did you see that, Pinhead?
Yeah.
I really like. I was like,
it was good.
I was like, holy shit, what a twist!
I was pleasantly surprised because I thought I was gonna hate it, but I was pleasantly surprised. It was a good film.
Yeah, and we watched that film and we were like, whoa, where's this going? What's happening? Where's this going? And when the twist, I'm like, holy shit. Like, wow. And his performance was really good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he's a great actor.
I can't remember her name, but she was also really good.
I love that he's doing a bunch of other random stuff because he's a great actor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why not? That's cool. But yeah, so for the Thunderbolts, you got, let's see.
Yeah, so you got Sebastian Stan as
Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes.
Yeah,
Wyatt Russell as John Walker. David Harbour returning as Alexei Shostakov. So of course, is it Red Guardian?
Yeah, Red Guardian. Yep. Yeah,
yeah. And I really liked him in Black Widow.
He'll be great. So,
yeah, I thought he was good. And then of course, Daniel Brühl is coming back as Baron Zemo.
Perfect. Which he should be the leader.
He should be, but I'm not sure. We'll see.
Oh,
we will see. Because I remember seeing something where he's not necessarily going to be the. I don't know.
Oh shoot! I hope not. Because he's the one that's got all the cheddar cheese. You know, he's got all the money.
Right. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus, of course, is Valentina. Is supposedly coming back. And supposedly we were supposed to get Steven Yeun as Sentry, but I guess that's off the table.
No way.
Yeah.
I thought he was coming in.
He was supposed to, but then, like, before you know it.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
All right. And
I think it was, what's his name? Robert Kirkman, who did The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Supposedly, like, blabbed it out. Like, hey, Steven Yeun's going to be the Sentry.
Oh, yeah.
and that may have cost him the job. I don't know.
Oh, that sucks, like, bro.
Holy shit. But wait, if that's the case, I'm like, man.
Oh,
he's like, you know, it's okay. Let's do a Glenn spinoff.
That's funny.
Which, by the way, I'm surprised. Two weeks ago, I guess Rick Grimes is now back with Michonne and the kids. I just saw the clip.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. Like, man, this would have been great if I still cared about The Walking Dead.
Dude, nobody cares about The Walking Dead anymore. Well, I take that back. They're still making spinoff after spinoff, so people care about it clearly because they're making money.
Yeah,
but...
which they are. Yeah, but. At the height of its, like, you know,
right.
When Rick left, I was like, I guess that's all the fucks I give about the show. Like,
the show sucks. Like, and I can say that because I've watched it. The show sucks. Like, ooh, they give him an Assassin's Creed dagger that he could, and they cut off his hand. Ooh, like it's fucking trash.
Oh man!
Well, part of the last straw was when they killed Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but Carl's alive in the comics. Like, why are we diverting? Oh, because he's got to go to college.
Yeah, homie's done acting. He wants to leave.
Like, bro, he can go to fucking college and still be in a show.
I was like, suck it up and make that fat stacks of cash, bro.
Yeah. But I'm like, I guess. Okay.
I want to be a real boy. I want to go to college.
All right, I want to be a real boy.
Do what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah. And then, of course, we got the Bad Batch, which I think the last episode that we haven't talked about yet. It's been what? 2 or 3? Maybe 4?
Yeah.
But the return of Asajj Ventress. Holy shit. Like, very well done. I was pleasantly surprised and amazed at how they did her return, which was great. And then, of course,
I just like that they confirmed that she's not force sensitive in that episode. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. So
I was so worried they were gonna do that. Yeah.
Omega isn't force sensitive, but it seems like. But isn't there still potential that she can?
Well, so I think. Okay, this is just my opinion. I'm not. You know, I don't know what they're planning on doing.
Yeah.
Based off the most recent episode, Juggernaut, because I know you're getting there. Hemlock talks to her at the very end of the episode and was like, "Hey, so like your blood is different because it can mesh with others' M count and still be active. It can still instead of like deteriorating, which was what constantly happens. The M count deteriorates and hers doesn't when it's mixed.
Right. Right.
So that's what makes her special.
Right. And that's why, Emery, like, it's been how many episodes now? And I'm just like, oh, shit. Yeah, so far we have 12 episodes. We're down to 3 left.
We got, 2 more days, right? 2 more weeks?
I think so.
Because the finale is going to be a 2-parter, right?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah. But I think the finale is, like, May. I think it's May.
Oh, is it? It's not May 1st, is it?
No, it's not May 1st. I think it may be after. Or maybe before. I think it could be May 1st.
Because then May 4th, we get Heir to the Empire. Or I'm sorry, not Heir to the Empire.
Tales of the Empire. Which was a very nice surprise because they didn't, you know, I was hoping. They did announce that they were going to do season 2 of Tales of the Jedi. But some fans are saying maybe this was it.
No, I think they're going to do in Tales. I think they're still going to do a season 2 of Tales of the Jedi because the voice actors for
No.
Yeah.
Cool. Sorry. So last you said, you think they're going to do, you're still going to do. Work on season 2 of Tales of the Jedi?
Oh, yeah. So because the voice actor for Ventress said that they're going to do the whole Dark Disciple thing in future content, which tells me Tales of the Jedi stuff later.
Makes complete sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, they dropped the trailer for Tales of the Empire on April 4th, exactly a month before May 4th. Took everyone by surprise. And I was like, holy shit, we're getting everyone. Like, Lucasfilm animation is all about, like, you know, absolutely pleasing the fans. Like, oh, you want some more? Here you go.
I'm just glad that they're focusing on the villains. Like, they're going to make a villain-centered show. I'm hyped for that.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
We're getting everyone. We're getting fucking Birdman with a mask. Like,
we have
who the fuck he was. We're getting fucking Marok. He's there. And we're getting, of course, Barriss Offee, like, and the Grand Inquisitor, General fucking Grievous. Like, holy shit. And, of course, they tease Darth Vader. I'm like, as the new master of Barriss.
Yep, Thrawn. We get the whole game. Yeah, and Jason Isaacs is coming back. Which is, like, blows me away because I don't even know why they changed him for the live action, but whatever.
Right. And then Morgan Elsbeth. I'm like, holy shit. Like, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. The trailer looks amazing. All the fans are hyped up because, like, the heroes are interesting and everyone loves the heroes, but man, talk about the villains. Everyone mm-hmm. loves the villains as well, because they're as equally compelling and as good as the heroes that we have in Star Wars. And like, holy shit, amazing. So yeah, and it's going to be the short episodes again, but I'm like, whatever. I'll watch them. I'll watch them all.
Well, they're dropping them all. So yeah. Like, I'm hyped for that. They're dropping all 8 or 6 or whatever they're going
to
do. Yes,
and they're not doing it week to week. Because, yeah, if they were already that short, they're like 15 minutes, yeah. And then they're dropping it. Yeah,
nah, dude, don't be doing me like that.
That's too much. Exactly.
My theory is that for the next season 2 of Tales of the Jedi will be Ventress for 1 4 episode arc, and then oh my gosh, what's the dude's name? Guy that died. That's in Ahsoka. What's his name? Baylan. I think there'll be a Baylan arc.
That would be cool. That would
that's,
be
really cool. That's my theory.
Yeah.
Just because they're gonna warm you up for they're kind of warming you up for Ahsoka season 2 with Tales of the Empire right now with one of those arcs, and they'll probably do the same thing with the Tales of the Jedi arc. Warm you up for
right,
Ahsoka
yeah.
season 2.
Makes sense. That would be cool. And then, of course, as far as Star Wars as well, The Mandalorian and Grogu has been pushed back. They pushed it back to 2026.
Yeah, keep pushing it, man. I can wait. Like, I've had enough of Grogu and Mando. Yeah. Like, let's just get some other good stuff in there.
Which I get. Yeah, that's fine. Push it back 2 more years. That's fine.
They're like just green machine. Like, they just think he's just going to magically print money. It's like, dude, if your story sucks, nobody cares.
Yeah,
that's
Bob Iger's
the problem with season 3.
What else can we put on a big screen that'll make a ton of money for it? Yeah, because now they're realizing, like, really, as far as, you know, hey, it's great to have Disney Plus. It's great to have all these shows. But yeah, the only money you're making is from the monthly subscriptions. How much are you making? Even if you price gouge and raise your prices obnoxiously within a year, as opposed, like, my whole family can watch the same thing at home, as opposed to bringing us out to the movie theater and spending per ticket. Yep. On top of that, the collectible $50 popcorn bucket that lights up but can't do my laundry, you know, whatever. That lights up and makes sounds.
Yeah.
You know, take my money by all means. And supposedly Rogue Squadron, Patty Jenkins' Rogue Squadron supposedly is also back on the table.
Yeah, that just makes me laugh, dude. It's
which I'm like, hey, you know what? That's great. You better, because I mean, after seeing Top Gun, Maverick,
yeah,
it felt like Star Wars to me. I'm like, why can't you do that with Star Wars?
Oh, it's the whole, yeah, I don't understand why they pulled the plug on her. You know, but they've been having this like weird trend for the past couple years where they're like, let's announce these movies and these directors that are coming in, and then we're just going to silently take them away over that following year. We're not going to say anything about it. It's just going to fall apart, and we're going to be like, well, we gaslight you into believing that, you know, we didn't actually have that movie being in production. So dumb.
I kind of wish it worked differently, where like what they did with Lucasfilm Animation with Tales of the Empire. Surprise, here you go. Coming.
Exactly, dude.
But unfortunately, the movie industry doesn't, they, of course, they have to promote it. They have to let people know, like, hey, this is happening. They have to let the cinema, you know. But I wish they could just take an unconventional approach and surprise everyone. Like, hey, we got a Star Wars movie in 2025.
Yeah, it's just that, it's the Star Wars celebration mentality of like, okay, so we got to have something to present. Otherwise, we look like we're stupid and we don't know what we're doing.
Right.
And meanwhile, everybody's still going to gather that place so they could, you know, enjoy the cult that is Star Wars. Like, they don't have to hear that you're going to have something new.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
20 years down the line that you're going to blow off anyway.
It is the Disney machine. They of course, definitely need to get everyone excited. Hey, this is great. You love this stuff. Here's what's coming next.
You're getting a Rey movie.
Why
do I hear crickets?
Get your paychecks ready.
so dumb,
hey, yeah,
dude.
Did we talk about the Acolyte trailer? I can't remember.
No, we didn't.
Oh, we didn't. Yeah.
No.
It looks great. It looks fantastic. Kui was asking about Jedi Foo, Wire Foo. There you go. And it's not just anyone, it's fucking Trinity. It's fucking Trinity, and it's Squid Game Boy, which I'm like, and he sounds great. I'm like, bro, you still need a translator? I'm sure he got a lot of practice.
I'm sure he got some coaching, yeah, because I mean.
Yeah. But over time, I mean, he sounds great. I think it looks great. It looks fantastic. It's got enough mystery. So, but I'm still confused. Like, What the fuck is it? Is this 50 years before the Phantom Menace?
It's 100. I think they confirmed it.
Yeah.
I think they said it because I don't know. They do this stupid thing where like, oh, it's 100 years. And then, oh, wait, it's 50 years. No, wait, it's 200 years. It's like, dude. And the whole point, too, is like, and I think they're trying to get away from like, I know that there's some theories out there that like they're trying to wean in Plagueis a little bit.
Right.
And my thing is that, you know, didn't like Kaede Munde like totally just block any potential to have a Sith being seen by Jedi for millennia
over,
or whatever?
For over a millennia. That's
yeah,
right.
Dude.
That's
so,
right.
Like all these guys that are going to fight this dude in the trailer with the red blade, they all have to die, right?
They all
like,
have to die.
Right.
Or unless whoever they're fighting can completely erase their memory and wipe their memory. You know,
right. Right.
Then,
and
yeah.
And I'm just scared that the director or whatever, Weinstein's protege, just goes, you know what? They can fix that later. Let me just focus on my thing and just totally ignore plot and storytelling of the movies. But I don't know. We'll see what she does. It looks fun. Like, it looks like a cool action-packed Jedi story. So
Right. And we're seeing more yellow lightsabers. I'm like, oh, shit.
The Jedi Wookiee is what actually got me a little giddy. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and he looks
cool. Yeah.
That's actually Yuna Suotomo, who played Chewie in the sequel trilogy.
So, yeah, and didn't he play him in Solo as well, or no?
Yes, in Solo as well,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm glad, like, he's still continuing, you know, the tradition.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's great. When they do re-release Episode One, The Phantom Menace in theaters, there is a sneak peek of The Acolyte, not at the beginning, at the end of The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I'm going to see it with Brad on the 4th.
Oh, nice.
So I'll have that insider scoop.
Oh, yeah. I do have tickets as well for the 4th.
Oh, nice. I'll probably see you there then.
Yeah. I'm going to take the whole fam. Because I feel like this is the perfect introductory to kids, especially. It is a kids, you know, movie.
Oh, but yeah, dude.
The way when George Lucas was writing this, he was writing it for his son, who was, I think, 7 at the time. Yep. I mean, clearly, the pod racing and all the action and everything, you know. And that's why he had little Anakin, yippee, you know, and fart poopy jokes for the kiddies, but all the grown-up fans in 1989 were like, George Lucas fucking ruined my childhood. What the fuck is this shit? I thought Anakin was supposed to be a dark, brooding Jedi.
Dude, and meanwhile, me in my young age going to the theater for the first time to see Star Wars, and I just, like, just went over the top with it, and I was like, I gotta watch it 5 more times in the theaters, Ma. Like, let's go right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Back inside.
And I was blown away with when Darth Maul, you know, ignites his second blade.
Oh, yeah.
And then they go at it, and they're just dueling. I'm like, oh, shit, this is fucking awesome. But, yeah. So, yeah, there you go. That's The Acolyte. Pinhead, you wanted to review? You have a double feature movie review for us?
Yeah, another Star Wars garbage.
The Catholic double whammy special?
Yeah, I will say one thing real quick since we were talking about CinemaCon. For those who want to know, Saw 11, really Saw 12, but we'll call it Saw 11, has been pushed back, which I'm glad. It was supposed to come out this September, but it's been pushed to the 26th of next year, of 2025. Because I guess Halle Berry's movie's being moved into that slot, and The Crow's being pushed to August 2nd, which it was supposed to come out June 7th. And then the second thing is, which really makes me sick to my stomach, Lionsgate and Blumhouse are coming together. They announced it at CinemaCon to do another Blair Witch movie. So Blumhouse and Lionsgate are teaming up together. Now that we got that out of the way, we'll talk about Immaculate and The First Omen. I'm going to start with Immaculate because Immaculate was fucking trash. And I don't like to be that guy all the time, but horror movies are really in the dumpster right now. There's some really good prospects out there, but this movie is shit. First of all, for the people that were excited, they're like, well, we're going to get to see Sydney Sweeney's tits. Not so much. That's what a lot of people paid for. I'm sorry, but a lot of people are like, we're gonna get to see the titties. Woo! I don't, unless I miss something, there is no tit action. She covers her breasts when she's being washed. So for all you perverts out there, ain't happening. You ain't seeing her tits. Number two, I'm gonna spoil this. So for those of you that don't want to hear the spoilers, I'm sorry. You know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This movie is fucking stupid. The moral of this in First Omen, I got it. You know, the Catholic Church and Catholics are evil bastards. So that's what the moral of both of these movies are. Like, don't trust the Catholic Church and Catholics. I don't understand why these Christian fucks are getting so angry about this, because this is a more of a knock on the Catholic Church and,
right,
and Catholics. Right. Yeah. So if anyone has the right to really be agitated about something, it should be Catholics, because it spits in their face.
Right.
Secondly, the story is so fucking stupid. The reason these religious horror movies, I can give or take, but the major theme is always some supernatural content. With this movie, they go, no. The reason why there's an immaculate birth is because a mad scientist took the nail that was put into Jesus' hand on the crucifixion. He somehow, over these 2,000 years, with this ultra technology, this mad scientist was able to take some DNA leftover skin that was stuck on the nail that was rusted, and he was able to conjure up all this shit so that they could have an immaculate, and they've had like 4 or 5 different experiments that gone wrong, but she's the new person that somehow was able to get through with the DNA of Jesus off the nail and be able to have this fucking birth. Number, it's fucking stupid because of a cabal of evil Catholics in this cult and a mad scientist who decided that he wants to play God and he wants to prove that he could do what God couldn't, and this, that, and the third, and it's so fucking stupid. Secondly, it's not that violent. I know what everybody's losing their shit over, the ending scene where she has the baby and the baby gets destroyed. They don't even...
What, like with a rubber mallet?
No, she smashes the baby with a rock.
Oh my God.
They don't show it. They don't show it.
Okay.
If they had shown like a fetus or something getting destroyed, then I would understand the outrage. But they just hint at it. The camera, like, she smashes and she goes, ah! And then the camera pans off and it's the end of the movie. It is so mind-numbingly fucking dumb and dull. It's only an hour and a half, and it's one of the most boring films I've had to sit through in a very, very long time. I like Sydney Sweeney, but the fucking story is stupid. They don't give characters time to develop because it's only an hour and a half. Like, literally, you're sitting there for 40 minutes going, okay, what's going on? We've had a few jump scares. That's what happens in every horror movie. What's going on? And then they just go right to the story of, oh, Jesus Christ, we somehow 2,000 years later, we were able to pull some CSI bullshit and take his DNA off the nail of the cross and make this immaculate. It's like, okay, I've wasted my fucking time here. Thank you. So that's a 2 out of 10. I put it on my Instagram. It is one of the worst films of the year. It's incoherent gibberish with a story that's so fucking, even by horror movie standards, it's fucking stupid and far-fetched. You're like, okay. What's the outrage about? You're outraged about a stupid fucking movie. And like I said, if anybody has the right to be outraged, it's not the Christians. It should be the fucking Catholics, because this and the First Omen tell you that the fucking Catholic Church and Catholics are evil bastards that are out to get you and do something like, and both stories are about a young white woman from America going to Italy. This is literally the same thing as like when they had Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Oh.
There's just enough change to not sue each other, but it's still the same fucking story.
Yeah.
You just changed it enough so you guys won't sue, but it's the same fucking story.
I will give, so that's a 2 out of 10. I will give the first Omen a little bit more credit because it's got, what's her name? Neil Tiger Free. She's fantastic. The cinematography is really good. It's a really good shot film. But once again, it's this stupid story about a cult of Catholics that up to get this little white girl that came from Detroit and she decided to be a fucking nun. And now the Catholic Church wants to impregnate her with the, like, you see, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil it, but you see it coming a mile away. I'm like, let me guess. She's going to be the mother of Damien, right? And sure enough, she's the fucking mother of Damien. Instead of him being born of a jackal, which was some weird, creepy, really shit that you go, okay, I could see how the Antichrist comes from that. The fucking Bill Nighy is supposed to be her fucking mentor that he's watched after. And I'm like, I know where you're going with this because you're saying that you've been mentoring her and grooming her since she's a little kid. All of a sudden, this little white girl from Detroit comes here and she's fucking in the nunnery and she's part of, and there's a whole cabal. I'm like, let me guess. She's Damien's mama, right? And sure enough, not only is she Damien's mother, but they decided to add some shit in that makes, that undermines the any of the fucking Omen, any of it, not just the original, but the trilogy. He has a twin sister. So she not only gives birth to Damien, but she gives birth to another daughter that made it out of this fire, which I don't know how this is. Her whole belly gets cut open. There's fire burning and she makes it out okay with the child, and Damien gets whisked away, and they do the little shit where they're like, we're gonna tie it in because we were too fucking lazy to write a script, so we're gonna show you a picture of Gregory Peck to get you in the member pairs. And there's one stupid fucking scene in there I don't understand. They call back to the original Omen because they do the look, Damien, it's all for you scene where there's a nun in there that douses herself in gasoline and sets herself on fire. That would be awesome, but it makes no sense because we know she's part of the Catholic nun cult. So why the fuck would she kill herself if she's part of the cult? She's not an outsider who talked too much. She's part of their cult. But she's like, I gotta burn myself just because we need a death in this movie. We need a gruesome death in this movie. So let the girl set herself on fire, and there we go. So they end the movie with a picture of Gregory Peck, and they tie it in that way, and they're like, this is the first start of a new trilogy we're probably going to do and run this into the ground. So I'll give the first Omen, if Immaculate was 2 out of 10 trash, I'll give the first Omen 5 out of 10. Because at least the first, and beyond Neil Tiger Free, at least they tried with this movie. Oh, but it's so fucking dumb. Hollywood, if you can't do better than this, just stop making horror movies because this shit is so fucking obnoxious. It wasn't even, the only thing that were offensive about these two movies wasn't the content. It was the fact that you made me waste my time and made me that much fucking stupider for watching your stupid fucking movie. These movies are trash. And there's a lot of people in the horror movie that are being load blowers being like, this is the scariest movie of the year. Okay, I must be missing something, and I must be really desensitized to these movies because having a jump scare every 20 minutes is not, every 30 to 40 seconds throughout your hour and a half movie, that's not terrifying. The reason why The Exorcist and the first Omen and the original Omen and all these are horror, are true classics, is because the psychology of the horror movie made you feel like after the movie was over, you're looking behind your back like, fuck, am I possessed by Satan? Like, they really wrote the story well. They got good actors, and they hammered it home with the. It really was psychological shit to fuck with you. This is just boom. We all did this. It's not scary. The kid who gets the pot and just goes and bangs it out of nowhere to try and make you jump, that's not scary. That's just someone being fucking obnoxious, and that's what these movies are. It's the fucking kid with the pot who waits for his mom to come around the corner. He's like, she can't see me. And goes, ah! That's what these new modern horror films are. And it's ridiculous. So five out of ten. We need to do better than this. And that's why I can't wait for Alien Romulus, because Alien Romulus, it has to be the one that sends us to where the shifts, like, I want to be scared. Like I've said before, I've said on other I want the heebie-jeebies to come back in. I want the heebie-jeebies again. I want the heebie-jeebies to come back into horror. I want to get the heebie-jeebies again, and this shit just ain't it.
By the way,
this shit was garbage.
I think we're getting a Xenomorph head popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah, saw that.
Of course.
It looks fucking cool. And that's a lot of space. That's a big ass popcorn bucket.
It's a lot of brains.
And the rumor is, if the rumors are true, we're gonna get some exclusive footage come Alien Day, because they're supposed to release Alien again for a limited time for people to see. And apparently, there's some Alien Romulus footage that might be before the movie. So.
Is Neil directing Romulus?
No, it's Fede Alvarez.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Neil Blomkamp. Because I was corrected. I said his name wrong. It's Blomkamp, Blomkamp.
It's not Blumpkin.
No, it's Blomkamp. it's pronounced Blomkamp because I was told the right way to say it, because I've been calling him Blomkamp. That's like, it's how it's fucking spelled. I don't care.
No, same. Yeah.
But that alien thing is trashed. Like, I really wanted that to happen, and he's not getting another chance. So they've moved on to Fede.
Okay.
And I was really hoping we would get that Alien 5, but it's not gonna happen. At the very least, I would like them to release the art book, because apparently that art book is pretty thick.
Okay.
Or do a CGI, like, kind of full-length feature of it, but we're not getting Alien 5 now, so.
Okay.
Thanks to Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
But that's my spiel on those two pieces of shit. I they're not even worth, like, a Netflix and chill. They really aren't. Like, if you try that, your girlfriend might actually break up with you for insulting her with the shit, so I wouldn't do it.
Oh man.
Oh boy.
Oh, I was gonna ask you, gosh. Have you I wonder if Kuya has too. Have you guys played Fallout, the game?
I played the third one, and I played like a little bit of 4.
Have you watched the show?
Not yet, because I don't have Prime.
They dropped all 8 episodes.
I know. I saw that and I was like, whoa.
I binged the living crap out of it.
Well, and the first episode's for free. Anybody can watch the first episode.
Okay.
Because I noticed that, like, I went into my Amazon Prime just to see if all the episodes were dropped, because I heard that too. And the first episode is free to watch.
I'm not going to lie, Matt. So I've never played the game, but I know, I probably know like 20% of the lore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have an idea. And I got to say, man, I really enjoyed it.
I heard it was fantastic. Like, there's been nothing but good things said about this fucking show.
Yeah, I binged the crap out of it. And Walter Goggins is just chef's kiss. Phenomenal acting.
I love him, man. You know?
How's the girl?
For the character she's playing,
uh-huh.
I thought she did a good job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because her character, so like, I don't know if I should describe it this way, but like, the characters in the show are kind of like how a player could play the game. So, like, you know how you could kind of be a bad guy, you could be a good guy, you could be neutral, you know, and her character is just like straight good guy. Right, like,
right.
Oh, Ella Purnell, okay,
yes,
because
remember
the yellow jacket shit, okay,
yes. If you remember, the Zack Snyder, the zombie movie in Vegas,
yes,
played the
that's
daughter.
Where I saw her from. That's where I saw her from.
I remember Pinhead having a very, like, what, even Kuya, like, what the fuck, she's like so fucking annoying.
So,
oh, that was, yeah, the Army of the Dead,
Army of the Dead, yes,
yeah,
I'll tell you this. So I binged the living crap out of it yesterday and today, because like I just couldn't stop watching. I thought it was a blast. My wife, she sits next to me on the couch all the time. So she decided to watch the last 5 episodes with me. And she was just like, this is bonkers, weird show. This is just, like, her words were, this is probably the weirdest show you've ever watched. And I was like, yeah, it's definitely strange. So she was giving the actress a hard time on her acting, especially like when she had to cry a couple parts. But I was like, to me, I didn't really care. I was just kind of like, yeah, she's a goody two shoes. You know, like it fits the role, like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And every time Walter Goggins came on, I was more focused on his character every single time. Cause he was just like, he was such a show stealer, man. Like every time he was on screen. And then the thing that I do like is that girl's character is kind of like, she's kind of like the audience. She's experiencing everything for the first time. You know what I mean? And then we're getting all this information from all these other characters explaining the world. Like the world building is really well done. And again, I'll watch season 2 when it comes out. Cause they hopefully maybe a fan will listen to this and they correct me, but like, I think they teased New Vegas at the very end.
Okay.
No spoilers or anything, but yeah, no, it was the acting at times was like, you know, it was fine. It wasn't like out of this world, but just Walter Goggins was just,
I heard he's fantastic.
He's like, just 10 out of 10, dude. And like his comedic timing, I swear, dude, I knew that guy was funny. Cause I mean, Shanghai Noon and stuff like that when he was a lot younger, but like some of his comedic timing in this show is just so funny. I was laughing so hard a couple parts. And I won't spoil them for you guys, but I thought he was fantastic, dude. And his character had some good, compelling character development too, you know. But
I haven't heard any bad things about the only really negative I heard about it isn't even reflective of the show. Is like the premature ejaculators are talking about how her ass isn't fat enough to compare to the female in the game, and it's like, you're so fucking stupid. Like,
yeah, no, that's
and
just...
that is the complaint I've heard. Like, her ass isn't fat enough. I'm like,
wow,
you guys need to get outside. Like,
yeah,
you obviously never had sex with a woman before if you're saying shit like that.
No kidding, bro.
Like, come on.
I'll just say I know that fans of the show are enjoying it because a friend of mine from work, he's a hardcore fan of the Fallout games.
Yeah,
and he's digging it. So he hasn't finished it yet, but yeah, no, I just, as a person that's never played the games, dude, like I just think it's so much fun to watch. Like the whole world building and storyline. And there's a lot of cool like tie-ins to what we're experiencing now today, which I think is super, super cool way to do storytelling.
I don't know much about the game, but I have a friend as well. She's like a diehard Fallout fan, and she loves this show. She says it's like, it's compared to Halo, it's actually doing justice to the source material.
Yeah, no.
Unlike that piece of shit, this show's actually giving justice while being a good show for casuals who don't know anything about the show.
And it's it's surprisingly super violent and kind of gory. I was
hell yeah.
I was actually surprised.
See, Jester, now you don't make me buy my fucking Amazon. I got to get Amazon again.
Like, there was a part where, like, this is not a spoiler, but there was a part where, like, they're called knights, but, like, the armored dude grabs another guy's head and then literally squeezes it and explodes, and he's, like, holding the skull cap. And it's just, like, super meaty and juicy. You're like, oh, my gosh. Like,
that's right up my alley.
That's totally up your alley, yeah. So there was a couple parts of that. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I think it's, the story is fantastic. They don't like tell you everything you're having to learn while you're going. And yeah, and again, Walter Goggins, just 10 out of 10, dude. I want that fool in Star Wars in some form or another. The guy's just so great. But yeah, I'd say check it out if you guys are interested. And Kuya, definitely, if you listen to this, you should check it out too. It's a blast.
Yeah,
I do want to check it out. It does look cool. I've never played the games, but I do like the design of the armor. And I know there's been a bunch of Funko Pops that they released of that, and even McFarlane is coming out with some stuff for the show. I do want to check it out, but I'll tell you who wants to be in Star Wars. Hiroyuki Sanada.
Oh yeah, now let that fool
from,
in
from Shogun. which, by the way, so I'm not up to date on the newest episode.
I missed the last two.
I need to catch up on the last two. But I think it's the fourth or the fifth episode where he has his own house now.
Yeah.
Are you up to date, Pinhead?
Yeah. Oh.
No, I'm a few episodes behind.
Okay. What's the last episode you watched?
I don't want to episode 4.
Okay.
Oh, I think he's got the house by then.
Yeah. I think So I think it's episode 4 where he has his consort, his wife, right?
Yeah.
And then he doesn't want to give up his guns to the guy who fucking peed on him, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like, fuck you. Like, of course, it's this whole like, no, I'm fucking man enough. You're not taking my guns. And then his consort offers, like, you know, let me take your, I'll take care of him. And she fucking points it at the fucking guy. And like, and I love how she's holding it, because she's not holding it with her bare hands. She's using her dress to hold it.
Right, right.
Like, when she's holding the gun, it seems like she's a natural. Like, she knows how to fucking use it. And she, like, points it at the other guy, like, fuck you. Like, this is my house. And I'm like, but then, you know, when you look at the culture and that time period, women were not even, you know, basically they didn't have autonomy on their own without a man. But the fact that she stood up to that other guy and pointed the gun, I was like, holy shit, that was fucking awesome. Like,
that's the cool thing I really like about that show, is they're in-depth explaining the culture. And yes, like, that to me is so interesting. And so to find out that it's her job to actually protect the home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was like, whoa, like, I didn't even know that was, you know, part of that whole deal. So like, yeah, no, the culture, the way they're explaining it in the storytelling, they're not telling me, right? They're explaining right. in the storytelling. Cause again, right. where the audience through is, the
characters. Yeah.
What's exactly. his name? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just, gosh, it's like one of the best shows I've watched in a long time, man.
Yeah, so, it is, and it's one of the best new shows that's come out in a very long time. So
we actually, my wife and I, we watched the behind the scenes. They have some behind the scenes on Hulu, and they go through the costumes, they go through the props and the movement and everything. It's fantastic. And the fact that a lot of the actors, a lot of the cast are actual Japanese actors who have never had the opportunity to work outside of Japan, because they filmed a lot in Canada. It just goes to show the fact that they spent money on this show, and it's money well spent, because they really invested in having it be as authentic as it should be to the time. Because they even explained that they had, I forgot the term, but they hired these people from Japan who actually know how the traditions were. Everything from pouring the tea to mixing
the dialect.
Yeah, the handwriting and everything. And I'm just like, I was blown away, because I was like, holy shit. Like, they really went as far as to go. And it really shows when you watch the show and you watch the episodes, you see the detail on their clothing. It's all there. It's fantastic. And I'm really impressed with the cast. The girl, Anna Sawai, she's fantastic as well.
Yeah.
The translator. So I'm like, yeah, because I never finished Monarch on Apple. And she was,
God, you're lucky.
Yeah. Like, as I was just trying to, like, after Godzilla Minus One, I was just trying to, like, get into, like, more, like, give me more Godzilla stuff. But I'm like,
you ain't getting it with that.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not. But I know she was there. But then, of course,
she was fine. I'm just glad she's getting redemption with this show.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah,
Monarch was fucking garbage.
Yeah, I didn't even care to finish it. I'm like, okay, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, I would highly recommend watching them. They're like 7-minute video clips.
Check it out.
And it really shows Hiroyuki Sanada, who is a producer on the show, and he's pretty much also number one on the call sheet. When he's done filming a scene, he gets out of his costume, gets into his casual clothes, and he's there, like, behind the camera, consulting, constantly, like, working. Like, he never stops. Like,
if I'm not mistaken, he's a history buff, too, for that character, right?
If I'm not mistaken. But he really, like, it's very impressive, because he's constantly there as they're filming, even if he's not in the scene on camera. He's there right behind the camera.
Mm.
And so it's just going to be a matter of time until he directs his own thing. But it just goes to show the care that he has for this entire series. which is really fantastic. And the fact that they really went for the authenticity of the culture and everything with it, which is really fantastic. And like, yeah, even they even when they go into detail about the costumes, and like you see like what is it, the mother of the heir?
Oh yeah,
she's wearing like 7 or 8 layers of clothing, and I'm like, holy shit, that must be fucking heavy. But that's how they did it back in that time, and you really see like the detail, the attention to detail, and everything. Like I'm like, and I'm glad that the show is doing well as far as people actually watching it as well, because it goes to show like, hey, yeah, you know, we love this kind of show, we want more of this, but unfortunately, this is a one and done. They announced that they just made a one and done season for this one.
That's cool with me, just because the story is just so
exactly. But at least it's showing, it's, you know, the audience reciprocating and like letting people, like, you know, FX and Hulu know like, hey, we want more of this. And when you actually spend your money wisely and invest in the authenticity of this, and the storytelling is great. Yes, it's an adaptation from the book, but the fact that you have everything firing on all cylinders, like, it's fantastic. It's really great.
Yeah. You feel the care. You feel the care that's been put into that.
Exactly.
Like the way the women walk in on certain areas, like going to the house, they have to walk a certain way.
Yes. They can't step on the grass. They have to step on the stones.
Right.
Especially in the,
their homes, like out in the garden.
Yeah, the sand garden, the Zen garden. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's always like one, it's always the left foot goes and then the next, and the left foot goes and then the next. Yes. It's never like, you know, how we walk. It's just the attention to detail is just, I'm so invested in the world when I'm watching it. I'm watching everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And even there, like when they started mentioning, what's his name? The pilot, you know, he's mentioning the Catholics and the Protestants. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's a Protestant. But I'm like, it was like opening me up to like, oh, shit. Course, this is history, like this happened, like, and they're all, it's all about, you know, even the what are they called, they're not friars, they're priests, but they're not Catholic priests, they're are they Catholic priests?
Well, they're Catholic, but they're from Portugal,
right,
they're Portuguese, and that's the cool thing about the show is that all the Portuguese is in English and all the Japanese is in Japanese.
Right.
You know what I mean? For the audience to understand. But
yeah,
they're Portuguese Catholics, and they're at war with England right now.
Yes.
And they're taking as much territory as possible, and as at the same time getting, I didn't know they were getting money, that much money off the Silk Road. And I think that's interesting. Right. The history behind that was crazy.
Yeah. And it's just fascinating when he's teaching them about cannons, about the, you know, how, you know, even the sailing and all that. I'm like, holy shit, like, fascinating stuff, really good. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all I can think of. Oh, I do want to mention, I did start watching Three Body Problem. I'm on episode 6 right now. It's fascinating. I think it's fascinating. It's at first I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Like, what's happening here? But the more, as soon as, I think it was like second or third episode where I was like, oh shit, okay, this is really interesting. So I'm still watching it. So it still kept my interest. So Pinhead, have you finished it?
No, I don't know if I'm going to. I don't like how they're mixing everything from the three books together. I'm watching the one on Peacock right now. So.
And how's that one?
It's more faithful to the book. I think that's why a lot of people hate it, because it is so, these books are very, very complex. They're some of the most complex story building story, even more than Dune. Like, they're very complex. So, and the one on the 10-cent one on Peacock that they got, I like it better. I understand, like, some people really enjoy the one on Netflix, and I'm going to finish it, but it's just, like, some of the stuff that they did with this, they're combining stories from other books, and it's like, fuck. I'm interested to see where it goes. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I had no
idea. But I'm going to finish the one on Peacock first.
Yeah, I guess I'm on the last episode, the eighth episode. I had no idea that they combined all these things from three books in the Netflix one. I'm like,
yeah, there's like some call outs from what happens in the next couple of books in these, like, especially in the last few episodes, that if you know the books, it's a nice little, you know, hidden gem for those who have read the books, and you're like, oh shit, that was actually in the next coming book that you're tying this in with this. I respect that, because they don't even know if they'll get another season.
Right.
Because it's dependent on if anybody's watching it. And like I said, for a story like this, it's hard to get people to watch it because it's very, very complex.
Yeah, because
and that's by design.
Yeah, in the Netflix series, they introduce a lot of like concepts, which is like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
Very fascinating.
And some of them aren't until the next book, so I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing with this.
Right.
So, but overall, I don't hate it. It's nowhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be, because Netflix is like, right now I got to watch Parasite because I love that anime. And I didn't know that was like, I'm like, is that the adaptation? Is this new Parasite series on Netflix adapted from the anime? And it has to be, because it's the exact same story.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how they adapt that. But the three body problem, they did a fine job. I just don't know how far this can go, because I don't see a huge audience gravitating toward this. It's very complex, like I said. And it's, I don't know. I hope it does well, because I'd love to see the Trisolarians come in there. When they come in, whoo, that's when all hell breaks loose. So. And I'll just leave it at that in case they do have another season, because once they come in, you can expect some real crazy shit to start happening. And that's all I'll say.
Right. So, Jester, I don't think we ever got to talk to you about this. Did you ever see Dune Part 2 in IMAX?
Oh, yeah. I saw it in theaters, not in IMAX. But yeah, I watched it.
It's worth seeing an IMAX.
Oh, I have no doubt.
they're actually bringing it back, I think, next week.
Because the reason why I didn't see an IMAX this time was because, you know, unfortunately, the only screen we got here is Galaxy. And when I saw the first one, they had those RoboCop chairs where I was, like, locked in.
Yeah.
For almost 3 hours, I was like, bro, my back is killing me.
Yeah,
so.
That's the only thing with that. With that theater, with the IMAX screen there, those chairs are not comfortable.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're brutal. They are brutal.
Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, I love watching an IMAX movie, but shit, my back is fucking hurting.
Yeah. I settled for the recliners at Cinemark.
Yeah, I was like.
That's why I never, like, that's why the Batman was the only one, because by the time I got out of the Batman, I felt like I had cerebral palsy. I was like, hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm like, because those chairs are just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, they sucked. Yeah. I hope they fix that one of these days.
Oh man!
Like, for crying out loud, all the money, just invest in some better chairs than that. Yeah, why? Like, exactly. The whole theater is all the recliners. Why is that one got the RoboCop chairs? I don't get.
Seriously, I'm paying more, and yet I'm gonna have a bad experience sitting down.
Like, yeah.
So when we watched it. The week before its actual release, it was packed. Everyone was there.
Yeah.
And you could hear a pin drop throughout the entire movie.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Nobody fucking talked. Nobody's cell phone went off. Nobody put on the screen. Like, everyone was just so engaged. And it was just like, holy shit. Like, this is a fucking movie.
Yeah, dude. I noticed
the annoying white girl sitting there going, nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Was gonna happen when they here.
When the Fade Rautha, when he got introduced, and he goes into the arena. I remember it was just so dead silent in that theater. Everybody was just so enthralled with what was going on. And I leaned over and I told my wife, I was like, holy crap, I'm like, I'm so invested in this movie, I forgot I was watching it for a second.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, geez, dude.
Yeah, and then of course all the TikToks of like all the girls like fucking getting all excited because of Fade Rautha.
Yeah.
And now we know, because they said it, they're fast tracking it. Messiah's been confirmed, so it is happening.
Yeah. But yeah, man, what an experience. Cinematic experience.
100%, dude.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I loved it.
Fantastic. Well, that's cool. By the way, they did announce at CinemaCon they are going to re-release Christopher Nolan's Interstellar in theaters.
Okay. I think
for its 10th anniversary later this year. So in IMAX as well.
I'll probably, I don't know. I watched it in theaters the first time. I kind of want them to bring Inception back. I'd go see that one again in theaters.
That would be cool to see on the
big screen.
Yeah.
That was a journey last time I watched that too when I was at theaters. I was like, oh my gosh, what a trip.
Yeah. Oh. I remember my aunt calling me and asking me to explain to her the ending. And I told her, well, you know, honestly, it could go either way. I mean, what do you and how do you interpret it as the, you know?
Right.
He ended that movie on that respect because he wants people to have a conversation. So
it was a good conversation because I mean what I think Nolan ended up explaining was that he just doesn't care anymore. He doesn't care about whether he's, you know, in the dream or not.
Right.
And I didn't even think about that. I was just like, no, he's not. He's not dreaming anymore.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, yep. No, gosh, that movie is amazing. But
yep.
Is anybody excited for the new Sonic movie coming out?
So I just watched the second one like a couple days ago. And you know, it was a rough ride, but I sat through it, you know, and it's fun. I just like Jim Carrey, man.
It's his last hurrah. He's done after this.
I'll watch it because of Jim. Yeah, he's a blast. So
he's retiring after the third one, though.
Yeah,
that's it for him, huh?
I kind of like that Shadow's in it. I don't know if they're gonna do his whole, you know, I killed a child and thing, but
well, there's supposed to be an awesome sequence that they got to see at CinemaCon with Shadow on the motorcycle and Sonic going toe to toe, and I was they're talking about how like they were clashing and they stop it right there as a tease and they said it was fantastic showing at CinemaCon. I was like, fuck. And they said that he's like Jim Carrey's in the fat suit and he's gained weight, like they make a joke about like he like I've let myself go and like now he is fat robot and egghead, and it was supposed to be fantastic footage they showed at CinemaCon. So
I'll check it out. I'll wait for it to come out on DVD or whatever.
There were some rumors a few weeks ago saying that Hayden Christensen is voicing Shadow.
I don't know. They haven't confirmed because they said at CinemaCon they didn't even all they show is Shadow that he doesn't speak. So
That'd be kind of dope if he did. Actually,
that'd be awesome.
If it's fucking Hayden Christensen, like, oh shit. Like,
that's dope. I hope it is.
I did see the second one a few weeks ago with my daughter. I enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. So I'm like, yeah, I'll check out the third one.
It was the whole wedding scene that I got taken out of it with the whole like, you know, FBI. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, this is a really dumb movie. Like, I was like, wow.
You know? They're like, hey, we got a cruise control now. We made our billions.
That's exactly
Let's
what
it go. Let's go. Fast track this shit.
That's 100% what it felt like.
We can get to the third movie.
Yeah, yep. that's exactly what that felt like.
There's that Knuckles series that's coming.
Yeah.
I'm like, I guess that's cool. I mean,
it looks so lame.
It's just getting his paycheck. Like,
yeah, dude.
I'm happy for him, but that shit looks fucking stupid. Like,
it does.
Yeah.
And I really am not against it, but I really am over it thanks to WrestleMania because they advertised it over and over and over and over and over through a 4-hour pay-per-view. I'm like, we get it. You guys are releasing the new Knuckles. We get it.
Oh, speaking of wrestling, did you and Kuya discuss his McMahon Stanley Steamer on that poor girl's head?
No.
The whole court case?
Yeah, I didn't really talk much about the Vince McMahon shit because like it's not just that, like he had dildos that were named after different wrestlers she was supposed to have sexual. Let's just say she had sexual intercourse. That he forced her with these dildos that were like, one was named after Bret Hart, one was named after Hogan, one was named after The Undertaker. And like, he literally named certain sexual toys after his wrestlers. So.
And I guess she said that the only reason why she took him to court is because she didn't get paid. for the last
one. Yeah, she didn't. Like, she was supposed to get a certain amount of money, especially after the NDA was signed, and they fucking stiffed her.
It's like, bro, you took a dump on that poor girl's head, and then you didn't pay her any money? That's messed up.
She had to ride the ultimate warrior. Like, she should have been paid. Like, you're disgusting.
Dude. Yeah, man, I'm so rooting for her, man. Like, go for that pig, dude. That's absolutely
so am I, because I'm not saying I'm glad this happened, but it's been vindicating what I've been trying to tell to the whole fucking community, that this guy's a scumbag. He's been a scumbag for years. And no, oh no, because I'm a diehard fan, I can't believe that Vince McMahon, it's finally vindication. The chickens are coming home to roost. He's garbage.
Yep. Well, when you got all that money, you know, what is there next to do other than take
a dump on somebody's head? Well, that's why he's selling all of his stock too, so he can get out, because he's done. There's people saying, oh, he might be back. He's not coming back. It's done.
Yeah, not from this.
Triple H is officially taken over completely. So, and with the Rock being on the board, it's not going to happen. So,
probably got Billy Corgan waiting in line too. Like, bro, can I get a slice of that?
Billy Corgan fucked himself.
So no, I know he did. That's
man, but stupid bastard.
That's all good. I was just curious if you and QR talk about that.
Yeah.
Before I forget, two more things. Warner Brothers did announce a fifth Matrix movie.
Yes.
You said that in the chat, and I was like, "Get me a break, bro."
Yeah. The news comes after the last installment of the Matrix movies. The Matrix Resurrections bombed.
Regurgitations.
With an estimated loss of over $130 million. Then this one is being worked on by...
Keanu, like, what are you doing, bro?
Let's see. Oscar nominee Drew Goddard, who's known for directing the 2011 film The Cabin in the Woods and co-writing Matt Damon's 2015 film The Martian. Goddard will produce the new Matrix movie with his Goddard Textiles partner, Sarah Esberg, Lana Wachowski, who with Lily Wachowski has been a driving force in the Matrix franchise, will act as an executive producer. Since the film is still in its early days of production, no details have been announced as yet about the film's synopsis. No word. There's not saying anything if we're getting Keanu Reeves back.
I hope not. I hope they move out of the fucking Trinity Neo shit, because there's so much of a fucking people. I understand Matrix Regurgitations was hate. People hated it. They didn't like it. And I understand why. But for those of us that know, that have been down the rabbit hole, there is a vast, vast storytelling of the Matrix that has not been tapped yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that can be done that can make a really good Matrix movie out of the Neo Trinity bullshit, and it can make for a really... I wouldn't mind another three movies, but they got to go in that direction and pull away. I love Keanu, I love Carrie Ann, but we need to move on from the Trinity fucking Neo shit.
Yeah,
that's obviously didn't work with the last one. It just didn't work. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can wait so patiently, I'll probably forget about it and not even watch it. So we'll see.
Yeah. And then lastly, they did announce a live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film based on TMNT The Last Ronin is in the works at Paramount.
Which are they doing live action?
Rated R.
Hell yeah.
Which is like, yeah, that's exciting. That's awesome. But it's going to be produced by Walter Hamada. If you know who Walter Hamada is, well, there you go. We'll see what happens.
Why are they doing a live action? Why can't they just do a really cool stylized animation?
I think they want to separate themselves too from the current Seth Rogen TMNT.
But you already got the Michael Bay, TMNT, like they're live action.
Yeah, but in order to do that, you wouldn't have been able to. They want it rated R, and you cannot do that. It would be under Nickelodeon, and you're just not going to be able to do that. Like, you can't do that.
Mm.
You cannot make a, especially as gritty as they're saying this is going to be, parents would lose their shit.
I forgot that they were tied to Nickelodeon. Especially
in this climate.
So, that makes sense.
I think as far as the animated rights, well, I think even the live action, I think Nickelodeon may have it. Yeah, because I think the Michael Bay was also in part in cooperation with Nickelodeon. But I think, yeah, they
the difference is this won't be marketed to kids as if you had a cartoon that would have like it would have just splashed all over it, and like it wouldn't work. Like I said, especially in this climate, parents will lose their fucking shit. And rightfully so, because if they make it as gritty as they're saying, I don't want my kid, my fucking 10-year-old watching this. Like, it's supposed to be brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of animation, I want to tell Kuya before we wrap up, because I know he's probably going to listen to this. I finished Invincible Season 2. Super dope. I can't wait till 2029 when we get to watch Season 3. Who knows? I might be dead by then. But we'll get it.
I just started Season 2.
So, oh really? Okay, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I finally started watching it, so I'm like, okay, because since it's done now, I feel like okay, I want to
binge. You got a nice binge then, yeah. You got a nice binge coming.
Yeah. So, yep. That's pretty much it. That's all I can think of.
All right.
Yeah, unless you guys have anything else you want to add.
I got nothing.
Same. I got nothing. I just spilled the beans with the Invincible. So.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And you already got me excited for Fallout, especially talking about all that gore. So that'll be the thing I talk. That'll be what I talk about next time, if I enjoyed it or not. Because now, thanks to Jester, I gotta get fucking Amazon Prime again.
So. Just look forward to Walter Goggins, and then you know, because he's just great.
I love him.
I think they're also selling the soda. You can get the Nuka soda or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Of course,
they are. I know they did it before for one of the games. But I think it again, to tie in with the show. But I am curious to see when Deadpool 3 comes out, if any parents like complain, like, why is Spider-Man rated R?
I think they learned from the first movie, because I remember they got so much heat for that, to where like he put an ad at the beginning of the movie with himself like sitting in a chair with a book, and I remember like he had like explained to the audience that like this is rated R, this is not for children.
Right.
But yeah. So hopefully they figured it out by now.
I think they also did a PG-13 version for direct to Blu-ray and DVD of Once Upon a Time a Deadpool.
Yes, and that was the second one, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's doing the whole Princess Bride scene, and he's reading to a grown I forget that dude's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's
I actually got it because every purchase of the Blu-ray or the DVD, they donated to cancer research.
Okay.
And it even included the storybook. So I was like, the storybook is what sold me. I'm like, I need this shit.
Okay. I haven't watched it. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right.
Cool. Thank you guys for joining me. It's been fun. It's been a while, but hey, it's been fun to get back and shoot the shit. Hopefully.
Absolutely.
The next episode, Kuya will join us, and we will hear more from him. Oh, we forgot to mention the Penguin trailer for Penguin. Yeah, the series for Colin Farrell's Penguin, spinoff of
the. I was like, "What, March of the Penguins? Morgan Freeman's coming back? What's going on?"
there is a trailer for the Penguin series coming to Max, which there is a quick shot of it. Clancy Brown.
Oh, what's that dude not in, dude?
Yeah, he's playing one of the mobsters.
Of course he is. Who's that guy's agent, man? That dude's getting him loaded. He's just in everything.
Oh yeah, because he was also on the Gen V.
Yeah, he's in everything. He's in Marvel. He's in DC. He's in whatever movie. Like I was watching Cowboys and Aliens recently, and he's in that.
He's playing Salvatore Moroni.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. I think he'll be a great Moroni.
Yeah. There's a quick shot
He's great at whatever he does. Like, he's the man.
Straight up, dude.
Yeah, there's a quick shot of him in the trailer. And then, of course, not too long ago, Robert Pattinson took a picture with one of the guys, I think, or a fan, who was spotted in the Penguin set. So I'm like... Yeah, they're going to show us Batman. It's going to be fucking awesome.
That'll be tight.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so that's, I think, later this year, coming to Max. And one last thing. If anyone enjoys watching Hot Ones, where they, you know, they get a celebrity, they're eating the hot wings or the hot sauce, which I have a badge of honor because I think you guys did you guys try it when Kaden brought the bomb?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's there. So you know how fucking terrible that shit is. Oh,
100%, bro.
So what if you're into watching that show, watch the newest episode with Conan O'Brien. Holy shit. Okay. I was in tears from laughing.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, he'll go for the funny bit, but holy shit. Like, he fucking chugged some of those sauces.
And I'm gosh.
I'm like, bro.
That's insane.
Yeah, watch it. Oh, my God. All right.
I'll check that out.
Crazy fucking bastard.
Yeah. Oh,
I forgot. Pinhead, Tokyo Vice Season 2. Did you watch it yet?
No, because I just realized that it's been on that long. I got to catch up because I'm like, is it good?
Season 2 is done. It's excellent. You know, again, I was spoiled by the book because I read the book after season one. I couldn't wait 3 years for season two. So.
Yeah.
No, it's excellent, though. Just great storytelling. I love it. So, yeah, you'll like that. Yeah, I was bouncing between that and Shogun.
I need something to fucking wash the bad taste of the True Detective season out of my mouth. So I'll watch it. God, that was shit.
Yeah. So Tokyo Vice, it was excellent.
I'll check out. All right. Yeah. I'll get on that soon because I've been like I've actually been waiting until it's done so I can just binge it.
I was getting Japan way in the 1800s and I was getting Japan in the 90s, so I was like for it. I was going back and forth between Shogun and Tokyo Vice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So it's dope. I definitely binge that season. I think they're probably gonna do one more and they're done.
Okay.
Game plan, because I mean, based off the book that I read, I mean I don't think there's much to tell.
Yeah,
so
which I'll be all right with that, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
go out
on top before the show goes down the tubes.
Yeah, and just tell the story and be done.
Exactly, you know. Exactly.
So, yeah.
All righty. Well, that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Thank you, anyone and everyone. If you got this far, you listened to it. Appreciate it. Feel free to spread the word about this little show. This little podcast, because we're still at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we're going anywhere either. I think we're just going to be riding this wave.
It's been fun. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hopefully in the next episode, we'll be complete once again.
Yes.
Oh.
With Kuya.
Yeah.
And his Omega rant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for the Bad Batch episode so I could hear him bitch and moan. I was like, come on.
Yeah, and then the next show they announce is going to be like fucking Omega and Ventress.
Oh, no. I don't even know if I could take that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
All righty. Thanks for watching, for listening. Stay safe out there. Till next time. See ya.
So long.
Peace.